like the dramatic opening, don't you?
Yes.
It sets the tone.
What is our tone?
Very dramatic show. Hi, everybody. It's Dramatic Bill. It's Dramatic Wendy. Welcome to the show. Appearing on the show, Bridget Carey later on from CNET to tell us about...
Is it a Tech Tuesday?
Today is, yes.
Whoa.
Yes, 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 yes. Also, Connie Payton, the wife of Walter Payton, the greatest football player of all time.
Agreed. Good old number 34.
Good old number 34.
Walter Jeffrey Payton.
Walter Jeffrey Payton
in honor of Chet.
Yeah.
On his birthday. Isn't that sad?
Andre Jeffrey Dawson.
Yes.
Will also be here. Everybody who I've told, even if I casually mention that Andre Dawson is going to be on the show, every single person has an Andre Dawson story, including Steve, including Mary Sandberg Boyle from Steve. Everybody
I talk
to.
One.
You don't have an Andre Dawson story.
No, I better come up with
today,
one.
Today, you'll make one.
Oh,
today.
Okay. That's how it
today
works.
You'll make one. So they will be on together at 11:35 to talk about the importance of swimming.
They have a baby otter Dawson Payton swim school.
Yes.
I love otters.
Yes.
Yep. But it involves people, not
yeah,
otters.
Right. That's fine. That's fine. I was going to say very quickly, but there's no reason to say this very quickly. Let's take our time with this. This is very important. Homewood Flossmoor's got a problem going on right now. I'm sure you've heard it in the
big
news.
Big time.
There were kids from the school who went and made a video, white kids wearing blackface. They went up to a McDonald's drive-thru. And made a video of them in blackface. It's a school that already, apparently, from what I'm hearing, had some racial tensions, but this isn't going to make it better. It's going to make it much, much worse. So here's my question. What do you do with kids like this? You have to know at this point, because this story has been in the news in some way, shape, or form several times over the last couple of years. I don't know how you could be oblivious to the fact that this isn't right anymore. So if you've got a kid who's doing this, what do you do with him?
That is a great question. Now, have they identified the offenders?
I don't know for sure. I know that... I don't know for sure. It'd be wrong for me to speculate.
All right.
But I'm sure, in the interviews I saw last night, several parents were saying, we know these kids, we know who they are, which leads you to believe that it's no secret they're at Homewood Flossmoor. I don't want, even if the kids' names were in the story, I wouldn't want to say the kids' names, but...
They know better. That's what is so...
They should know better, right?
Yes, but you have to be living under a rock somewhere to not know what blackface stands for.
Right. Right, 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 right.
And they were being goofuses. They could have just done their goofusy things without that.
They said yesterday that there was a class at the school recently pointing out to kids the history of what blackface means and how wrong it is. So even if you were arguing on these kids' behalf saying, well, these are just, 14-year-old kids, they don't know, wrong. They were told in school exactly what it means and how wrong it is and how upsetting it is to people. And yet they did it anyway. Like a lot of these stories that have come out about people who have worn blackface, you say, yeah, but that was in 1983. And even though we know now it was still wrong in 1983, the culture wasn't as sensitive to it as it is right now. So you can't use that as an excuse. It falls flat.
I feel these kids knew the reaction they were going to get.
I thought that yesterday, too. And I keep going back and forth about that. Because when you're doing it, what are you doing it for? What's the goal of that? Were they trying to be funny? Was that their goal in it? I can't figure that out.
They were trying to offend someone. I don't know any other way around
right.
that.
I guess so. I guess. But what's behind that? Why would you set out purposely to offend other people?
I don't know.
They'd have to know that they were going to go back to school. And it's a school that is a mixed race school. They were going to be in classes with classmates who are African American, who I'm almost 100% sure wouldn't be thrilled with this.
Homewood Flossmoor officials said that due to confidentiality laws, they could not disclose the students involved or the actions the school had taken.
Yeah.
But everybody is standing by waiting to see the actions the school has taken. They have come out against what has happened.
They came out against it, but the wording is really interesting because Homewood Flossmoor High School is saying that these actions happened off campus. So although they don't condone the actions and they're against the actions, they're limited in exactly how they can handle this, but I don't know that they are. I mean, it did, to their point, yes, it did happen off campus. It was not on school property. So,
but you know,
well, you know, let's think about that for a minute. So, is the school, does the school have jurisdiction over every moment of a
no.
child's life?
No, certainly not. Like if a fight happens outside of school on a weekend, I don't think the school has anything to do with that.
But can't you transfer the fact that these students are part of a school the same way any of us are part of a business? For instance, if there was video of the three of us doing this, how would our employer handle that?
Well, we'd be fired.
It's different, though, because we would hurt the reputation of our employer.
Isn't this hurting the reputation of the school,
though? Our employer is paying us to be here. You know, they are going to compulsory public school.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it, but I mean, this comes up all the time. And you know, these kids shouldn't have done what they've done. And I don't know where the repercussions come from. But I'm leery of giving school 24/7 punishment access to our kids.
No, I get that.
I kind of agree with you. And, you know, there were.
And it's not fair to the schools, too. I mean, you know, they shouldn't be responsible
for what happens.
For a 15-year-old 24/7.
That's true. These are sophomore kids.
So it's a different story, Steve. If they do this at some sort of a school function, then it is the school's responsibility.
Right.
But in this case, we're saying the school is off the hook to some extent.
And if they're athletes or club members, you know, and I don't always agree with this either, but they've got these codes to where they do have 24/7 control over them, you know, and they could punish them that way.
Right.
Although expulsion was brought up, and I don't know that I 100% agree with that. Do you expel a kid for doing a stupid-ass thing? A sophomore who, I mean, they know better. Kids do stupid things, maybe drinking too much, or...
But if you're going to expel them, you could make the argument that it would make for a very tense learning situation to bring these kids back into a classroom. Everybody in the school knows who these kids are. The names aren't in the newspaper story or in the online story, but within the school, they know who those kids are. What is it like then? Let's say they put them back into class today.
Into Gen Pop.
Right. Yeah. It's certainly not a safe environment for them. It's certainly not a comfortable environment for the kids sitting around them.
These are things you need to think about, people.
You would think.
Repercussions.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can they do homeschooling for the last month of school? And then what happens next year?
Yeah.
Do people forget about it over the summer?
They're sophomores, right?
That's what I have heard, yes.
Yeah. All right. A bunch of calls and a bunch of texts. Let's take those. We're at 312-981-7200. We would love your opinions on this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Laff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about the situation at Homewood Flossmoor where some sophomores were videotaped. They made the videotape of them at a drive-up window at a McDonald's. The kids are dressed in blackface. Yes, it's 2019, if you're just waking up.
And here's an idea. Don't wear your school sweatshirt either.
Well, a texter said that that's the reason we know that they're from Homewood Flossmoor is one of the kids has an HF sweatshirt on, and then they go on to say, if one of the kids was wearing a Cubs cap, would you blame the Chicago Cubs for this? No.
Interesting.
And I'm not blaming Homewood Flossmoor for this, for the high school. They're trying to figure out what they're doing with this. They don't know yet.
All right. Well, Steve Bertrand raised an interesting point, and I think Craig agrees with him. Hey, Craig.
Hi. Let me start out by saying what they did was totally stupid. Okay? I'm not defending them. But at what point does your personal life become your personal life? I mean, I understand if you work for a company and they have a set of guidelines, like you guys do, you can't embarrass a station.
Right.
Which, I got to say, sometimes you guys really walk the line on that
well, thank you.
But,
appreciate that,
but
Craig.
I mean, these are just stupid teenage boys. How can a school become involved? And how can we as a society expect the school to police them when it was their personal private time?
I was telling Bill off the air, it's different if this had been at prom or a school functioned thing, but this wasn't. So,
and they were in their personal vehicle. They were at a McDonald's or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
They had nothing to do with the school aside from wearing the sweatshirt.
Maybe it was a rival school in wearing a Homewood Flossmoor sweatshirt to get
them
in trouble.
Bad.
I think now we're putting too much into this now.
So what do you think, Craig? Everything you said certainly has merit, but so what happens next? Do you do anything with these kids? What's the next step?
I don't know. Can they be charged criminally as a hate crime? I don't think so.
What was the crime?
I don't even... Exactly. So I don't know that anything can be done except to maybe counsel them. They can't be punished. What good's that going to do? Homeschooling for the next month, like somebody suggested? No. That's not going to do anything.
I'm taking a guess, Craig, that the crime could be construed as inciting violence. Don't you think?
I don't even...
You don't think so?
Did they do it in front of a bunch of black people trying to anger them?
Not necessarily.
No, they posted it on social media, but right, there was no gathering of any sort.
Exactly, and everybody posts everything these days. You know, and they're stupid teenage boys.
Yeah.
This is what they do.
You know? All right. No,
appreciate it, Craig.
There's no question. Thanks, Craig.
All right.
You make some valid points there, and Joe had something to add to that. Hey, Joe, your thoughts?
Hi. Yeah, I honestly feel that there should be some kind of a criminal level to them as consequences, even if it's at a lower severity as a hate crime. But they need to be held accountable for what they're doing.
And what do you suggest that is? Joe, I'm just curious. Like, should they be suspended?
No, because the school had nothing to do with it. So this has to go to the law enforcement. So what I would think is if they're found guilty of doing something like this, they should maybe be forced to do community service. And more than likely in neighborhoods that they would that they're actually trying to demonize, or not demonize, but to criticize. Kids today have no, I mean, I don't want to sound and lump them all together because I know all kids aren't bad, but a lot of kids today don't know what punishment means. They just get away with too much stuff and they're allowed to do it. And I blame part of that on their parents, and I blame part of it on the laws of this country, or actually the state. I mean, I can't say what other states are doing, but these kids need to know that what they do has consequences, and if they're not made to stand by them, then what are you going to get?
Joe, great ideas. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
I feel bad if the parents are good people and have taught their kids well and the kids just do something stupid. How embarrassing would it be if that's your kid?
Sure. Of course.
I mean, I think about that.
Right.
You know, not necessarily the views at home are represented here.
Right.
So
how do you make that abundantly clear?
I know.
To say, look, we raised this kid to not behave this way. If the parents feel, I'm hoping the parents feel that way. I'm hoping.
I mean, should they apologize to the school? 69% African Americans at home would floss more too.
Yeah.
69% black.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this.
Jasmine, our producer, is a graduate of Homewood Flossmoor High School. Jasmine, when you attended classes there, did you feel there was a lot of racial tension there?
So I have two generations. So my sister, who is also went to Homewood Flossmoor, when she's 40-something now, when she went to Homewood Flossmoor, she was always telling me about how she was like one out of four black kids that were on her bus.
That was it.
Going to school and things like that. Homewood Flossmoor was very... it was an up-and-coming time since I was like the 70s, 80s, in that time era. But when I went to school, I didn't really see that problem. It was more diverse than ever. It's
was
probably
it?
One of the best diverse high schools in the state.
Good.
So I didn't feel that way, but I could see where now the times are changing, you know what
sure.
I mean, with these kids. So I definitely can see that happening. This is not the first incident. There's been plenty of incidents that have been... talked about, and it's just upsetting.
Yeah. It's just stupid.
It's upsetting.
I just don't understand it. The school statement is, it is important that our students and community clearly understand that these actions will not be condoned at Homewood Flossmoor High School, and we will continue to take the appropriate and necessary actions to ensure all of our students are respected, feel protected, and safe.
You know, they're making the right statement there, because that needs to be said. And what Steve said is certainly true. you can't really pin this on them, but I think they almost have to do something, because how tense are those classes going to be once these kids go, I don't know what the situation is today or tomorrow, but in the near future, the kids in this video are going to go back to classes there, and how uncomfortable for everybody is that situation going to be?
I agree. And do they go back? That's what I'm saying. If they apologize and say, I don't know what we were thinking, this was totally stupid, and we didn't mean to offend. I don't know. Do you have a school assembly to do that?
Wow. That would be rough.
It certainly would.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim?
Hi. How you doing?
We're all right.
You know, I think, Wendy, you hit it right on the head. It was a stupid thing. And Bill hit it on the head that the school issued an appropriate response. But it just seems you have to put things in perspective. They did do something dumb. What high school student hasn't done something dumb? It was offensive. Perhaps an appropriate punishment would be to take kind of a feed off of the old Star Trek episode where Frank Gorshin was in a race that had...
The Charon. He was one of the Charon.
Right, something like that. So maybe they should force them for a week to wear half their face one color and half another, and with a sign that just says, I'm sorry.
It seems a little extreme.
Although,
saying it's impossible, but it does seem extreme.
But not as extreme as like the one gentleman saying that it could possibly be a hate crime. Not everything in society is a crime. Some things are just stupid.
Right,
exactly.
No, that's so
and
true.
I don't see the crime. I think it's inappropriate and unacceptable, but where is the crime?
Right.
Right. Okay. But anyway, it's a very good discussion, and it just kind of shows how some things can get... you know, kind of blown out of proportion, and maybe, you know, stupid is as stupid does.
So true.
Good
Thanks,
point.
Jim.
We're running so late here, but Esther, you've been on hold real quickly. Your thoughts?
As a parent, I would do something to the kids. That's a problem for a parent. That child would not have a phone. They'd be on lockdown for at least a year. I am an Afro-American parent. My husband and I raised two sons. And as they grew, we told them, don't do anything stupid. Don't go out and rob some old lady and have to go to jail, because if you do, you're going to stay there. And when kids get stupid, they need to learn how to grow out of their stupidness, and they need help. So I think the parents need to take care of this.
I hope they learn from this. I really do.
Sure.
I can't see how they wouldn't learn that being stupid sometimes has huge consequences.
Right.
Esther, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love her.
Yeah, she's good. And
she hasn't called us in a while.
I can't get the idea of a high school where kids are dressed like various Star Trek aliens based on the stupid things that they've done. That's a cool school. Thanks, Steve. Still to come on the show, we'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. That's coming up in a little bit. Find out what's going on in the world of technology. And Connie Payton joins us, and Andre Dawson joins us to talk about the importance of swimming.
I took swimming lessons.
Oh, I know you can swim. There's no doubt about it. You and I found out a couple of weeks ago, both of our moms were unable to swim. Neither of them knew how to swim.
And was your mom afraid of the water?
Very much so. Very much so.
I mean, she'd go in our beach club, she'd go like maybe knee high.
Yeah.
You know, walking around, keeping an eye on us when we were little. But she didn't love it.
Right.
She was afraid of the water.
My mom was so afraid and insisted that my brother and I learn very early on. Now... well, you know, babies can swim. They'll teach babies how to swim. We were older than babies, but I think I was 5 or 6 the first time I took a swim class.
What about your daughters? Did you take them when they were babies?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the name of the group was in Evanston that they were a part of, but they weren't babies, but they were 4 or 5, I think, when they started swimming.
Michael was under a year old.
Was he really? Yeah.
It's fun just holding them in the water and making them not afraid. That's why our moms were so afraid of it. They never were in it.
Right. Right, so true. My hero almost lost yesterday.
What? Oh, James, Jeopardy.
James Holzhauer, he's one of my heroes. He came very close. It was his 18th game, and he won by only $18.
18 and 18?
Yes.
He's a number stat guy. He did that on purpose.
Right. There's some congruence to those numbers. It obviously made him more excited to play the game. But this is a guy that usually wins by tens of thousands of dollars. So for him to only win by $18 is really, really rare. That's by far the closest he's come to being dethroned on Jeopardy. Now, the other day, I didn't see yesterday's episode. I've been watching it religiously the last couple of weeks because I love this guy. I just think he's so much fun to watch. It's so automatic to him, the way he plays. So I did not get to see yesterday's edition. I was working out, so I missed the episode. But last week, there was an episode. Now, you tell me what you think about this. Jeopardy is famous for, if you mispronounce your answer, you lose. You don't get it. There right. was an episode a couple years ago where it came down to Final Jeopardy, and somebody said, they asked about a tennis championship, and they said Wimbledon.
I know. This bugged me that they didn't
and
get
it's
it.
It's Wimbledon. This is years ago, and I was watching that episode, and I go, oh, just get most people call Wimbledon Wimbledon, give it to them, but they didn't give it to them. That was years
that
ago.
That seems unfair.
All right, so now this one that I'm talking about from last week with James Holzhauer, the question was, it was about foreign foods, and the answer, it's that Greek sandwich with lamb.
Oh,
meat.
I heard, I was watching live
watching
as this
one?
Happened.
All right, so
I couldn't
we know
believe it.
That's a gyro. But he said, James said, gyro.
It drove me nuts.
And they gave it to him.
And I am shocked beyond all belief. Michael and I were watching the show live
yeah.
as it happened.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other. That's when Michael turned against him and said, come on, man. It's not, everybody knows it's not a gyro.
It's a gyro.
And Alex did not even say, well, typically people say gyro.
Right.
But I can't.
Alex nodded approval. He's like, yeah, gyro, yeah.
But maybe then Alex calls it that. Oh, my God, it's so funny you say that.
I was shocked because I've watched so many episodes over the years where they are one letter off. This is a completely different pronunciation. They'll be off like the Wimbledon story, and the Jeopardy officials are like, oh, no, we can't allow that. You missed it. You said the wrong answer. But gyro, they somehow allowed. They were fine with it.
Got to tell you, some people truly say that.
I know, but couldn't you say that about Wimbledon also?
No.
Some people do say that. It's wrong, but they say it.
Yeah, but that's there's a letter in there
right.
that's wrong.
Right.
Gyro, gyro, although I thought it was gyros with an S. I was surprised he said singular gyro.
Right.
Oh, I was so mad at
right.
him.
Right.
Michael really turned on him
well,
at that word.
That one didn't decide his fate. He was up by, at that point, I think he was up 34,000 or 35,000. So that one was just, you know, a difference of $400 or something. No big deal. But still, if Jeopardy's going to insist you do this by the book.
What was the ruling on that? Did anybody
no, they
tweet
just went
it out
on.
Or anything?
And the other two contestants, like usually on Jeopardy, they're so close that the other two contestants would grumble.
Yeah.
But those guys were just sitting back and watching James do his magic. They were just, a lot of the contestants that I've seen over the last couple of weeks, they're just in awe of this guy. They're standing next to him going, I can't believe he just doesn't miss anything. He just knows the answers to everything.
And it's weird because I don't know how to read him. He doesn't look like he's going to be that smart about everything.
Right.
And he's just really calm, cool, and collected with his answers. It's just, it almost looks like he's not going to know this one.
I don't think while I've been watching anyway, I've not seen all 18 episodes. I've seen a little more than half of them. I don't think there's been a category that has baffled him. Like, he always gets at least two or three or four out of every category, and that's unnatural. Like, there's, even if you have areas of expertise, and you obviously do if you're on Jeopardy, there's going to be some thrown your way where you just go, I don't know anything about horticulture. This one's on, I give up on this one.
I can't believe it.
Whatever they throw at him, he knows a bunch of stuff about it.
Pat wants to comment on this. Pat, gyro, what do you think?
Well, you know, he did write down the right name, so
it was just an answer. It wasn't a daily double.
Right, that
he
wasn't what he had
it.
To write down. You just had to pronounce it.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, but I know some Greeks who even call them gyros.
Really? So that's acceptable.
Yeah, really.
All right.
Yeah, really. Especially the younger ones.
Yeah?
Not the older ones, the younger ones, yeah. And they own restaurants. But I guess it just depends on, you know, he made another comment about something involving sports that was different, and it still, you know, was went through. But that guy's amazing.
He's yeah. a machine.
He is. Yep.
There's nothing he doesn't know, this kid.
He's amazing.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. You know what they did take away from him is during his Final Jeopardy, he would always write the answer, and then he would say hello to somebody,
oh,
a
right.
family member, a friend. They told him as of yesterday he can't do that anymore.
Well, the gyro day, again, I was watching this live as it happened,
yeah.
and he did, hi, Jesse, or there was someone,
yeah.
and Alex says, you know, aren't you going to run out of people? Because I'm going to give you some of my family members to say hello to.
Right.
So it's kind of taken me out of the game in a way, though, because they're kibitzing back and forth.
Well, last week also, the other contestants started doing that, too. And I said, my wife was watching with me, and I said, now that it's becoming a thing, they're going to make them stop doing that. They don't want them to waste time by saying hello to people during Final Jeopardy.
He's changing Jeopardy.
He's changing it. I know. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, I just took a screen grab on my phone of an alert I got.
Yeah.
And
it
says this from BuzzFeed. There's now a new there's a trailer for the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and some fans are disturbed.
Oh.
So straight from the headlines, we go live to Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor. What is going on with Sonic?
I'm disturbed, too.
Oh, Bridget, it sounds like you've been crying.
Aw.
What's wrong?
You know, okay, Sonic was my first video game.
Yes.
But, you know, before I was, like, in kindergarten, you know, the Sega Genesis was my generation.
Sega!
And here I am watching this trailer going, what is this horrible thing? It's like doing a live action, first off, of this cartoon character. Like, it's got perfect human teeth and legs that are so long, way too long. And it just kind of makes you go, what am I looking at? So it starts off with him playing Gangster's Paradise. Everything feels like it came out of 1997, including, like, that feeling you got when you watch the original Super Mario Brothers movie with how bad it was.
Right.
Like, we've come so far to know what's a good movie and a bad movie. How did this get made? But that said, Jim Carrey is the bad guy, Dr. Robotnik. And so that might be the one redeeming thing of wanting to watch it. But I feel like it's for a generation of kids who didn't grow up with a Sonic game or any of the cartoons or the comics. It's like, oh, that fast thing from Super Smash Brothers. Oh, it has a movie now. You know, like they might not really, you know, be connected to it. So they try to make him like an alien who comes down to Earth, which is not anything that makes sense. But then again, they're just trying to make sense out of nonsense, right? So I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if I should give it another chance, but that trailer
upsetting.
Just had a lot of cringe in it.
Are you going to be okay? Is everything all right?
You know, I did have kind of a Twitter meltdown a little bit.
Did
I
you?
Will say that. And it actually, like, okay, total nerd card showing here. I actually have old comic books from when Sonic was a thing in the 90s, you know, and I pulled them out. So there is a silver lining here. I was like, oh, it made me go through my old childhood and think of the happier times.
Oh, good. Well, that's good
when
news.
I liked it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is today. But I'm like, at least I had some fun looking up my old Sonic stuff, you know.
My nephew, Colin, is in his 30s now, and he had to get the red Adidas with the white stripes so he could have shoes like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
If you loved Sonic,
cool.
you
That's
loved
cool.
Sonic.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're sorry you're going through this, Bridget, but brighter days ahead, I promise. Explain this story to me. It's a headline off of CNET. Scientists have found a way to convert thoughts into speech. That sounds awesome, but what does it mean?
Okay, so this is what it sounds like. If people are paralyzed, they cannot speak.
Yes.
And so obviously they're not going to be able to talk as fast when they're, you know, trying to communicate. Right now, our technology allows for like 10 words a minute by looking at where your eyes are looking on a keyboard to be able to type something out. But you and I speak, you know, with over 100 words in a minute. So researchers at the University of California were monitoring brain waves, looking at people who are looking at a sentence. And of course, they have to measure all these different things. Like we don't just move our lips, but our tongue and our larynx and all these things that are going on. So they kind of got close. By just looking at brain waves, they were able to make sound waves based on all the, you know, things firing off on how it wanted to move the mouth. If you hear it played, it kind of sounds like the words. It's a little muddied. Mm-hmm. It's not as clear as you and I. But we're getting really, really close to restoring someone's natural rate of communication, you know, and improve their quality of life so they don't have to so they can have a conversation just as fast as you or I. It's pretty fascinating stuff. If you want to look it up, they have a video, you know, so you can hear what it sounds like. After listening to it myself, this is very, very close. I don't know if I pick up every word without a visual clue of what was the sentence.
Yeah.
But every other word I can kind of get.
How does this differ from the device that the late Dr. Stephen Hawking used?
Yeah, that is like taking, that's like when a computer dictates, written text, right? You know, it sounds like the computer talking and... In this case, I don't know exactly how he did it, but in this case, it's just really just looking at at the brain waves of someone to see, all right, were they trying to move their tongue, their lips? What word were they trying to say? And that's a whole new angle at this problem, you know?
Great progress. Good.
All right. And Facebook in the news, they may have our email addresses. Even if you're not on Facebook, explain this.
Oh, this was such a mess of a story. So a lot of us have had Facebook for a while, but for a lot of people who are signed up for new accounts since May of 2016, if you wanted to sign up for a new account or maybe a business account or something, to verify your identity, it was asking for your email address and your email password, and then without permission, sucking up all the contacts of your email account.
And wait, who would give the password? I mean, I would have probably just said, well, then I'm not going to join Facebook. That seems weird.
Well, yeah, it's a major red flag, but it's incredible that, like, no one else was, like, at Facebook thinking that that was a bad thing. So what the whole second of the contact addresses of your email account was another mess. That they said they grabbed about 1.5 million email address, or rather from 1.5 million people, all of their contacts. So obviously people have more than one contact. It goes up from there. It's just a nutty story. Facebook says they don't do that anymore. But if you know someone, a relative, anyone who might have signed up for a new account, all their contacts are probably sucked into this, and they can, and there will be steps to take out all that information. And you can always check in your Facebook settings. If Facebook is importing your contacts, whether it's your phone contacts, your email contacts, they do that. You can turn this off because, you know, this is how they recommend friends to you. You know, oh, don't you want to be friends with so-and-so?
Yeah.
How do they know that? Well, they know it because they suck up your contacts from your phone and all other sorts of ways. So we have instructions on CNET that you can go into settings under privacy and make sure that they do not take your contacts. I turned this off to myself a while ago because it's creepy, but it's even worse that, you know, when you think of the layers of going into your email account contacts, it doesn't make it feel good about Facebook. They don't have any feel-good Facebook stories lately.
Yeah. No. Go to CNET.com. She's Bridget Carey. You can look up how to get these email contacts changed. You go under privacy settings and privacy, and they'll walk you through it. Good luck with the new baby en route.
Thanks. Yeah, my due date is this weekend.
Wow.
Boil the water. Now.
Are you still considering the name Sonic, or have you changed your mind on that?
Sonic or Tails. You know?
It's a great name.
Good luck to you, okay?
Good luck, Bridget.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, take care.
Have a good
Bridget
one.
Bridget Carey, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Is this from Mamma Mia?
I don't know for sure.
It's Abba, Abba, Money, Money, Money.
I was close.
Good call.
Thank you.
Very good
I
call.
Saw Mamma Mia. It was really good.
Yeah.
The musical. Live in action. Stage musical.
I hear Mamma Mia 2 is the greatest film of all time. That's what people are saying.
With Vicki Lawrence in it as Mama.
Is it that same Mama?
No.
From Mama's
Wouldn't
Family?
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Chase Bank is in trouble, and I think it's silly. It's a bold move for the bank to shame its struggling customers. I don't really believe it was shaming its customers, but they put a little something on Twitter
Chase Bank did.
Yes, that says you, colon, why is my balance so low? And then it says bank account, which is answering you.
Yes.
Make coffee at home. Then bank account says, eat the food that's already in the fridge. Bank account then says, you don't need a cab. It's only three blocks away. And then you say, I guess we'll never know. Bank account says, seriously? And then it says, hashtag Monday motivation. I think that's really funny. And you can save money by eating the food that's already in your fridge and not ordering out. Don't go to the coffee places. Make your coffee at home like I do every morning.
Yeah.
Say, a cup of coffee there is $8.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but I'm not on social media anywhere near as much as you, and I don't understand a lot of the rules. Is this something Chase Bank does frequently with their customers, just little dialogues like this?
No.
Or is this a one-time thing?
This is, from my understanding, a one-time thing.
Just to be funny, just to say, hey, if you're looking for a way to save money,
yes,
within a joke, we'll tell you a couple of ways you could save money.
And then so many people came out against it. This one person just put me... I can't say it on the air... eat something and die.
Oh.
Wow.
They're very upset.
I think it's pretty funny. And then Elizabeth Warren came out and said, Chase, why aren't customers saving money? Taxpayers, colon. Mm-hmm. We lost our jobs, homes, savings, but gave you $25 billion bailout.
Oh, wow.
Workers said, employers don't pay living wages. Economists say rising costs plus stagnant wages equals zero savings.
Right.
Chase, guess we'll never know. Everyone says, seriously? I don't know why people are taking this to heart.
I guess I could see if I was somebody in an unfortunate situation. What Elizabeth Warren says, there is some merit behind
true.
It. So I guess if you're somebody who's like, I'm doing all I can to make ends meet and I'm being teased by my bank, but they're not... I know they didn't mean it as being teasing, and I know that now everything everybody says and does is scrutinized to the smallest detail.
I know, and I find it to be funny. I can't remember exactly what happened, but Wendy's or McDonald's or Taco Bell did something funny on their account.
Yeah.
It's just to get people talking about it.
Right. Well,
and this is
succeeded.
Yeah, but in the wrong way.
Right.
Somebody put, some other Twitter responder said, you, Chase Bank, why does everyone hate us? Me, antagonizing people isn't an effective strategy. You're not hip or with it. You should stop trying to be. Me, you don't need to tweet this. It's a bad idea. You, Chase Bank, I guess we'll never know. Me, seriously. You
wow.
know, it's,
yeah.
We need to laugh at things a little more.
If you find it funny, I wouldn't tear it apart, probably, the way that all these people, and I'm surprised Elizabeth Warren has jumped on it to
yes.
this extent, you know. Now, does this indicate that she's a customer, or was she reading up that there were so many complaints about their attempted humor?
Well, she's just trying to say, you know, we don't have money to mess around with, but...
Right.
And it's partially
your fault, she's saying, within...
The banks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because wages aren't high. But I'm sorry, a lot of people waste a lot of money every day on those things that add up, stopping to get coffee while not making it at home.
Right.
This is my favorite one is Ivan the K on Twitter put, Wells Fargo Bank says, we are the most embarrassing big bank. And then Chase Bank responds, hold my beer.
Wow. Wow.
Everybody seemed to get involved with it. So it's just
and
a
it's
Twitter
hard
war.
To be the most embarrassing bank when you've got Wells Fargo and Bank of America competing with you for that title. It's very difficult to beat those two.
Yes.
So good luck for trying, Chase.
I think it's funny.
Did it make you laugh? When you read it, did you go, now that's funny? Did you do that?
No, it wasn't an LOL thing, but
right.
It's like, oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Show people that you're out there. And
yeah, I guess. I'm looking at it through the eyes of a customer who could be in some sort of financial dire strait saying, that's what I need is the bank scolding me for wasting money when they have wasted money. You know, the bank bailout was a major, major thing
in
this country.
Time.
So I could see where somebody who's a little bit on the edge is going, do I need to be lectured by you about how to handle money?
No, but I just feel like everyone reacts
oh,
so
yes.
sensitively
without
now.
Without a doubt.
Bunch of sensitive people. Speaking of sensitive people, there was, I know we were talking about this Facebook breach that came out, but I saw this in the news yesterday. Should we take a break? And can I tell you, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg made a little something for his wife because she's a busy mom, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to help her.
Yeah. We'll take a look at that next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Bill, I don't know, in fact, I can tell you, you don't do this. You don't sleep with the phone near your bed, do you?
No, I do not.
All right. That's how I have my 5 alarms set in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I wake up a lot during the night. May have something to do with Jim snoring. It may not. But I wake up and I look at my phone. That's the first thing I do to see what time it is.
Yes.
And then, you know.
You don't have a clock bedside?
No, I have it. It's not plugged in.
Oh.
I'm kind of completely done with that.
Oh, all right.
It's just easier to use your phone.
Yeah.
So every time I am awakened, you know, I look and see how light it is outside. And then I check my clock to go, oh, I got another hour to sleep. Mm-hmm. Or it's only 3 in the morning. Well, Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook guru, his wife is a pediatrician. They have 2 young kids, and she did the same thing. She would wake up, and she would look at her phone and go, ah. Oh. And then you're kind of awake. It's hard to fall right back asleep. So he built this thing for her because being a mom is hard. It's a glowing wooden box, and it helps his wife Priscilla sleep longer at night while she's caring for the 2 children. The Facebook CEO took to Instagram to inform followers of his latest invention and the reasoning behind it. The sleep box emits a very faint light between the hours of 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. when their daughters Max and August usually wake up.
Uh-huh.
So if you're rolling over and you see that there's a light emitting from that little sleep box,
yes.
then you know, okay, I'm just going to get up now because it's time.
Right.
But if you roll over in the middle of the night and it's, say, 3 in the morning, there won't be a light on. So you know you can just go right back to sleep.
Does the light gradually get lighter as it gets earlier in the morning, or how does that play out?
No, it only goes on between the very faint light emits the beam between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. So if you roll, the box doesn't show the time, so that caused stress for his wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan.
Would you, if you were in on the design of this, wouldn't you want the time to be shown, or would you prefer that it not be shown? You don't want it to be shown?
No, because then I wake up so many times during the night because it's like, oh, I got to get up in the morning to get one kid up, and then
yes.
I got to take the dog out.
Jim snoring, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Although that's on my white noise machine. I have a setting that says Jim snoring. And that soothes.
So that lulls
very
you to
soothing
sleep?
For me, yes.
I'm telling you, I wake up, the first thing I do is I grab my phone on my nightstand and see what time it is.
Yeah.
So if it's only 2 o'clock, I'm like, good, I got 4 more hours of sleep.
Oh.
If it's 4 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I only have
frantic.
Enough. Yes. So he explains, since it doesn't show the time, if she wakes up in the middle of the night and looks at it, and it's no light emitting,
yes.
she knows just to go back to sleep, and she doesn't have to worry about what time it is.
Oh.
So far, this has worked better than I expected. She can now sleep through the night. I think this is a genius idea.
And is it available to everybody, or just his wife at this point?
Just his wife, and I'm sure he's going to charge
fair.
A ton of money.
To his wife? Or
no,
to everybody else?
To everybody else.
It is a good idea. I'm just trying to think if there's nothing like this on the market until now. They don't make anything like that? No?
I haven't heard of anything.
What about, have you ever seen these clocks where it'll, like the bat signal.
Yes.
It'll show you what time it is
on the ceiling. But you don't want to know what time it is.
You don't want to know what
this thing
is.
If you roll, you're in a complete deep sleep, your bedroom's dark, you roll over, you look at this light box.
Yes.
If there's no light, you don't have to worry about getting up.
Right, right.
You just go, oh, good, it's not time, and you roll over. If you wake up and the light is on, you're like, oh, crap, it's between 6 and 7. I may as well just get up now. I mean, obviously, you're going to need to know what time it is once you're up, but the clock is what keeps me from falling back to sleep.
See, I'm the opposite. I always want to know pretty much exactly how much time I have left to sleep, and I've even, over the years, I call it bonus sleep. I'll set the alarm earlier to give myself more time to sleep. I know mathematically it doesn't work out.
I know, I do the same thing.
But I
thing.
Like to fool myself
it's
into believing
stupid.
That I'm getting bonus sleep.
But then it's not even really good sleep, because then you read these things like when you're in this great REM sleep.
Yes.
That's where your body reboots and rejuvenates.
Yeah.
But if you... if your alarm goes off and it's only like you only have 20 more minutes to sleep, you're not even going back into a deep sleep. So it's like not even helpful for you. And you sometimes are more groggy.
It somehow works for me. I don't know how. Everything you say is true. I've heard people say it that way. But I like knowing, like, I get little segmented versions and I feel like I've slept more time. I have slept more times. You know, if I'm if I'm waking up three or four times, it's the same concept as a snooze alarm.
Which,
you know,
they say not to use.
I know.
I mean, look at how many. I mean, I'm not even lying to you.
You're showing me your various alarms, and they're set every 4 minutes apart.
No, 6:40. Well, that one is.
Yeah, 6:40 and 6:44 are 4 minutes apart.
And then 7:10, 7:15, 7:20.
Yeah.
I have to set them all when I go to bed, because if I turn the first one off.
You should have it set at 7:20, I think, in honor of the station.
There's a 7:20.
Yeah.
Look.
That one makes sense. You work 720. At 7:20. So you don't like this beam that shows, because I saw that in a store and I'm like, that would be cool to get, but I would want to change it so that it doesn't show me the time, but it actually flashes the bat signal. Because I would feel more part of it.
That would help you sleep because you would feel protected because Batman's out
there. The penguin's in town. I've got to do something about this.
All right. Well, I want to get this light box. I think this is the best idea.
When will
ever.
They be readily available?
I don't
available?
Know. I don't even
say.
Know if he's sharing.
He can't just make one for his wife and brag about it. That's not fair.
He's the CEO of Facebook. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
Care. I guess he doesn't care. I also have a Tech Tuesday story for you, Wendy.
Okay.
There is a hacker overseas who has discovered that he can break into cars' GPS systems. And by doing that, he is able to, once he has broken into your GPS system, he has the ability to kill your engine anytime he wants.
Why would he want to do that?
To be difficult.
He could kill people.
Now, he can kill people. He is not, but he has the ability to do this. Now, I bring this up because in a discussion we had several months ago about the self-driving cars, I brought this up to whoever we were talking about, and they said that, no, that's probably not possible, but I didn't like the probably part of that. Because the idea to me, because if somebody could do this through your GPS system, I would think you'd have the same ability to do this in a computer program that's driving your car. Somebody somehow could break into that and just cause havoc, do whatever they wanted. Wouldn't you think?
Yes. And what if your autonomous driver decides to go rogue like in 2001?
Right. Right.
Seriously, is there an override? Can you pull cords out?
Right. Very true.
I will never let a robot drive me. Famous last words.
Okay, everybody write down today's date, April 30th, 2019, the day that Wendy said, I will never let a robot drive me.
You won't either. I know you.
I'm very nervous about the concept. Everybody else is so excited about this.
No way.
But I'm because I would feel so helpless just sitting in a car. Like if somebody said to me, hey, Bill, just between you and I, we've got the technology ready today. We're going to send a car for you. It'll drive you around all week. You're going to love it. I would say no to that. I'm not ready for it.
The camera within the car, because there'd have to be a camera to look at the passenger in the back seat, just in case something went wrong.
Yeah,
that photo would get you strangling the robot driver like Homer does to Bart in every episode of The Simpsons.
Yes, I don't know.
I wouldn't trust it.
I know this sounds great grandfatherly, but I'm not ready for it yet.
I would like
to think that it's going to happen in a way, way, way in the future, but it's not. It's going to happen very soon, but I will be very uneasy.
I'm not going to let it happen. I'd rather have my dog drive me. I mean, really, what's the difference? I'll just put Kona in the front seat. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm doing fine. I'm wide awake.
How come, Mary?
Hello. I just left a message, but I guess they wanted me to talk to you. I have used this method for years in the wintertime. I have on my nightstand my regular light. I put a timer on that light so that it goes off or on at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I have light in my room. It wakes me up. It tells me it's time to go. I don't have any trouble now because the sun comes up at 5 o'clock and I'm awake. But it really makes a difference in the winter because you have to get up to turn the light off to come back to go to bed. So now you're awake. Now you're ready to go, and you're ready to go.
Okay, you are a genius. I don't need Mark Zuckerberg to build me a light box. Just put a timer on the light right next to my bed.
All you have to do is know a lot of deaf people, and you've got it. There you go.
And all it takes is just some light to wake you up. That's it?
Oh, when that light goes off in the morning and it's dark outside, you know the light went on.
Really? I'm not. Yeah. I don't think that would work for me.
You're a sound sleeper.
I'm
huh?
a very sound sleeper. Yeah.
Well, you don't put a night light on. You put a, yeah,
like a
real
floodlight
light on,
or something,
and one with, you know, maybe 75 watts instead of 60 or whatever you use with your lumen.
Don't you?
So that you have a good bright light and it wakes you up, and that you have to get up and turn it off is even better.
Don't you have a light on your nightstand?
We have in our house. We have all strobe lights.
All right. There's no use to talking to him, Mary. Hey, have a great day. Thanks for the idea. I appreciate it.
You too. Enjoy your lunch.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mary. Thank you. Big Charlie Chaplin fans, so we want it to seem like an old silent movie in our house at all times.
More like Lon Chaney. I mean, moving, it looks more horror.
Yeah, yeah.
You're weird.
Thank you.
I am such a light sleeper. I never used to be, but ever since I had kids.
Now you are.
Any noise whatsoever
sure.
wakes me up, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need one of these. Was this a Mother's Day hint for your family?
It's not. You can't purchase the Zuckerberg. The other one's just a timer. I
right.
have one.
You could do that.
I can do it tomorrow.
We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then we will not take a break. Wendy, I've changed my mind. I don't think a break is a very good idea at this point.
All right. Well, you know what we're going to do? After the news, we're going to talk to Connie Payton, Walter Payton's wife, and we're going to talk to Andre Dawson. Have you ever met
either of these people? Because I've wanted
Connie.
To forever. Have you?
Yes.
I've never met either of them.
I
can't wait.
And I love Jarrett.
Yeah.
Jarrett was our friend here.
Jarrett Payton.
And Brittany, I miss her on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's on TV, but I watch that eating show. I don't know what it's called.
Chicago's Best.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watch that and I miss her on that. I really do.
Now, she was the British guy in that show, right?
Yes.
Is that her?
She had a great accent, too.
Yeah, very believable accent,
I thought. Bill and I were talking about this. It's really important to take your kids to swim lessons. Your kids were a little older. I started Michael. He was...
A baby?
He was under a year old.
Oh,
I know that
great.
For sure. Because the first class was like, you know, I think it was called Moms and Babies. And Jim got really irritated because he went once
He's
with Michael.
One.
And he said, I am not the mom.
Yeah.
But you would just sit in there and kind of get your kid acclimated to the water. And then... probably 1 year old, he was swimming. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Because babies don't have the fear of water that you develop later on. So what better time to teach them?
100%. And we were talking about our moms never learned to swim, and yet their fear of water was way
bad. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. They've opened up a baby otter Dawson Payton swim school. We're going to find out all about that after the news. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Bill, you and I were talking about swimming. Our moms never learned how to swim.
Nope.
And one of the guests in our studio was not really into swimming as well. Mrs. Connie Payton in the studio with us. Hi, Connie.
Hi. Glad to be here.
So nice to finally meet you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've been a fan of you and your family's forever. So thank you,
you
for being
here. You
know
what? You're so sweet because you made me feel like a rock star when I walked in here.
Really?
Oh, you are a rock star.
Thank you.
And you have brought Mindy York with you, and we're going to talk about this new aquatic center. Tell us about it. I don't have the name of it. A baby otter
baby
swim
otter,
school?
Baby otter Payton family swim school. Yep.
All right. You got to talk right into that microphone, Mindy. Now, Connie, you were saying you never really took lessons either. What
I
was it with the moms?
Never took lessons. I don't know. You know what? It's not something my parents had time for. And the areas that I grew up in New Orleans, we didn't have the community pools.
No.
And it would have been a chore to try to get there. So I just never learned. So I truly have this fear of water over my head.
Oh,
really,
no.
I'll get in, but I'm not going in. If it's over my head, I'm not going near it. But Mindy is going to teach me.
Yes, I
but
am.
But, Connie, you were a Navy SEAL for years. How did you do this?
My charm, I guess.
I guess so.
So, Mindy, we were talking earlier. One of my sons, actually both of them, I started at, when they were about a year old, maybe even a little
best
before,
mm-hmm.
just getting them used to the water.
Right.
Is this why our moms and Connie are afraid of the water? Because they didn't get in it soon enough?
Well, it's like Andre Dawson. We taught him at age 50.
He didn't know how to swim.
It's not that he didn't know how to swim. He knew how to swim, but he had a trauma. So from that period on, he was afraid to swim. So we got him in the water, Marlene and I, who's the other owner, we got him in the water. And you know, Andre's not a tiny little tot.
Yeah.
And
did you put the little
floaties on him? Nah. He has a problem floating, actually. He has zero body fat. But we actually got him to swim, and he loves the water now. So Connie's going to do the same thing. I'm going to get Connie swimming across the pool with Blair.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. I'm working my way. I just ordered an outfit. I'm not putting on a swimsuit.
She's going to be a rock star.
So but I truly am looking forward to it. And what I realized a few years ago when I was asked to take my grandson, at the time who was 5, to a swim lesson, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Here Gigi's taking him to swim. She doesn't know how to swim, you know. And so I was determined to learn.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I don't mind the water, and I can float. I don't have the body fat. I mean, the zero body fat. That's not my I wish it was my issue. So I can float. So I look forward to learning, though.
She's going to be fine.
Mindy, floaties aside, is the technique different in teaching an adult who does not know how to swim and a child who does not know how to swim? Do you use a similar approach or not?
It is different, because an adult's fear is that they, you know, like Connie, I don't want to be in deep water where I can't stand, and I don't want to get my face wet and things like that. So we conquer those fears. Hair.
Yeah, I don't like getting my hair wet either.
Yeah,
you can't worry about hair in aquatics. So those fears were different. Andre was afraid to, again, kind of like Connie, I don't want to put my feet down where I can't stand.
Right.
So we address those, and then once we address those, then we teach them the life-saving. But with the kids, like Blair, Blair and Madison and Jaden, they all learned the turn, kick, reach, where if you fall into a body of water, they know how to turn around and get back to where they fell.
Good.
And we do it in 5 days.
That is what's so important. I like just goofing around in the water, and I'm a little afraid of it. I mean, drowning is not a good way to go.
No, it's not.
Swimming in the ocean, if you have your back to the waves, it can be scary.
Correct.
But you need to know how to tread water, how to do things where you can survive as long as possible.
Correct.
As long as you know that, you can just goof around in the water, can't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Like Blair. Blair's taken the turn, kick, reach. They all have. So Blair's already on to the next level.
What's the turn, kick, reach thing that you speak of?
Turn, kick, reach was developed by Marlene 40 years ago. Marlene has her master's in education. And when she went to teach her daughter, who kept walking into the pool, no one would teach kids under the age of 4. So she created this program, turn, kick, reach, that's our state nationally certified. And it's 5 days for a kid to learn all of this. I got involved 10 years later when my daughter was found at the bottom of the pool.
Oh, my God.
I was right there, but she was at the bottom of the pool. I knew CPR, was able to bring her back. But this is why we're so passionate about this, because we've both been there.
And little toddlers.
And it's so preventable.
I mean, people who have pools, or if you're on vacation, they don't know better.
Well, Brittany's friend had an incident when they were on vacation.
While Blair was taking her lessons last year, she had a girlfriend whose best friend in Michigan, little boy, just wandered away and wandered into the water, but he didn't make it.
Oh.
You know, and we realized then that this was a great thing. And I'm excited about it, because I truly have seen firsthand that it works.
Sure.
And to take Blair and Jaden, who had this fear and anxiety, and to see what Mindy did with Jaden, it's just incredible. And that's why I called her the baby whisperer, the swim whisperer, because she really has this knack to calm kids down and parents down, because it's scary for us too, sitting on the side watching them scream and cry, and when they're constantly, Gigi, come get me, and you really kind of want to go and rescue them, but you know this is best. And to see in 5 days, if you commit to those 5 days, it works. And they don't have to know swimming. They don't have to know anything.
Right.
I mean, to get, and really, so we know now, if they fell in the water, if Blair fell, she knows exactly what to do. She can save herself, pull herself to the side, hold on until somebody come to save her.
Very good. What do you think of this technique? A friend of mine's parents taught them this. They would take them out in the middle of the lake on a boat, and they'd make them jump off into the deep end. It's the lake, so I don't know how deep it is.
The whole thing's a deep end.
But, right, everything in a lake. And then they'd say, and that teaches your kids to swim because they don't want to sink. I don't think that's the best way to do it, is it?
You want to know my opinion?
Yeah, please. You've heard of this before, right?
I actually don't recommend that. We do it in a very loving way.
Yeah.
You know, all the pediatricians in Florida call us that it's a no-nonsense, loving program.
Yeah.
We love them through it, but they do learn a set of commands, and that, you know, they know when their faces go in the water. Blair and Jaden and Madison, they can hear turn, kick, reach. If you fall in the water, they just know what it means.
Yeah. Right. It's there.
It's in their head. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we're on, because we go all the way up to swim team training. Now we're on to the next level with Blair. So Blair is literally almost swimming the width of the pool at the Intercontinental.
Oh, great.
She will do the length by the time I'm finished with her in about a month.
Yeah.
What's the perfect age to start a child? People listening
crawling,
right now.
As soon
seriously.
As your children are crawling, yeah. So we have an eight-month-old that took the lessons in Florida. There's a party in the house. Everybody's watching the kid. Nobody's watching the kid. So the child fell in the water, but nobody knew it. They found out because he crawled back in the house soaking wet.
How did he get out?
Because we teach him to climb
up. Oh, this was a student.
A graduate. A month after he took the lessons, it happened.
Wow.
You know, Dave just had us on the news in Palm Beach because 2 months ago, an 18-month-old took our class. And 2 weeks ago, he fell in the pool and saved his own life. So the parents called in and said,
I have
you.
Goosebumps hearing this. This is great work you're doing.
It works.
Now, people listening right now, how do they get involved? Where does this happen?
Well, it's happening. There's two locations. There's one at the Westin in Lombard, and then this new one at the Intercontinental with the Peyton family. So they can call our 800 number if you'd like me to give you that
sure.
number. 888-794-6543. And they can go to our website, which is babyotter.com.
Babyotter.com.
Uh-huh. There's people that can give them all the information. And I just want to mention that Connie is, you know, very special to us.
Mm.
And it's an honor for Andre and for Marlene and I to be affiliated with the Peyton family at the Intercontinental. And we love them, and we love the fact that we can, you know, continue to make a difference here in Chicago.
Beautiful.
Yes. And May.
Tomorrow is National Drowning Prevention Month.
So this is a great time.
That is perfect timing. And you're an ambassador, Connie?
I'm an ambassador, yes. Because, like I said, I've seen firsthand that it works. And if we can prevent kids from drowning, I mean, that would be awesome.
So important.
And Andre Dawson as well. I would like to see you and Andre do some synchronized swimming in about a year.
Hey, wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be great.
We'll make it happen.
I don't doubt that I will get there. I really don't doubt
that. We're going to have Andre and Connie swim across the pool.
What a great thing to see. All right, we'll continue this conversation with Connie and with Mindy next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder telling you about the Baby Otter Swim School. Andre Dawson is behind it. Connie Payton's behind it. She's here right now, along with Mindy York, the president, the swim whisperer, as we've been asked to refer to you as. You don't use floaties. You don't use those balance boards. You don't use the styrofoam noodles. None of that, right?
No, we don't. No? Actually, floaties are a false sense of security. We have more children that we get for near drownings with the floaties because
really?
They forget they have them on. Yeah. They'll take them off, let's say, and go in and have lunch. Take them off, go run back in the pool, and there you go. Children should not depend on a flotation device or anything to swim. Blair, Jaden, Madison, they could jump in anywhere. There's no devices they need to be able to swim.
And once you learn that, then you can play with a noodle or a kickboard.
You can play with a noodle, not the floaties, but a noodle or an inner tube.
Yeah.
You know, play around with it, yes.
But, it gets so slippery in the water, you need to know what to do if you should slip off of that. And, I have visions of everybody's mom in an inner tube flipped over. I don't know why. Maybe that's why our moms didn't swim.
Maybe, yeah.
We have a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of adults that don't swim. And it's okay because everybody learns different things at different times of their life. So,
have you ever come across anybody it's just impossible to teach them? Have some people just reached a point where they cannot be taught to swim?
You know, I'm going to have to say no on that.
Good.
Because we never give up.
Good.
I remember some of the swim lessons I took. I didn't really like swimming, but you needed to learn. They made us do like a flip and then kick off. You don't need to know all that stuff, do you?
Not now. They'll learn it, but not now. At the different stages, they'll learn it. So right now, you know, the turn, kick, reach is the first one we accomplished. They've completed that. Now Blair's moving on to the next level, so she'll go across the entire pool.
Are you going to teach him butterfly? Because isn't that the hardest stroke ever in the whole
tough.
World?
When she
it looks
gets closer
beautiful.
To the swim team training one, we will. And then we'll all go watch all of them in the Olympics.
All right.
The Olympics. Why not?
Wendy's body produces its own chlorine. Have you ever heard of anything like
Shut
that before?
No.
It's crazy, right?
I'm so not going to comment on
that. That's nuts.
And I know that I'm just trying to think back of either swim lessons I had or my kids. If you fall in the water with clothing on, the first thing you're supposed to do, take off your shoes. Is that true? Is it weighs
you
down?
Kids, when they fall in the water, they turn around and get back clothes, shoes, whatever. No. You mean adults or children?
Well, I know that was one of the things, you know, that the clothing gets wet and it can weigh you down. I know you're dealing with little babies and stuff, yeah. But an adult, if
in Florida, if you fall into a lake, you know, if some people, you know, there's water everywhere, you're driving on the highway,
right.
So if you drive off and you're
that's my
in
biggest
a lake,
fear in the world.
Really?
Driving over a bridge and for some reason
getting caught in a car.
Yeah. So what do?
Happens a lot in Florida.
I take my clothes off.
Yep.
Actually, you get out.
And we'll all scream.
You get out and you come up and you scream. You need to know how to get out of the car.
Right. You guys are really helpful. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Did that help?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you come to Florida, I'll show you. We'll go off the side together and I'll show you how to get out.
So Mindy York is president of the Baby Otter Swim School.
She is.
And Mindy, this was started in Florida. Is that what happened? Why are you in Florida all the time? And you come here to help our kids.
Well, it started in Florida. Marlene developed the program, like I told you, 40 years ago. I got involved 30 years ago. We're both from Florida. So we came to Chicago because we got involved with Marriott and because of Andre.
Hmm.
Andre always wanted to bring it to Chicago.
Yep. That's awesome.
So Andre's been our spokesperson. We're going on 15 years.
Great.
Wow. That's wonderful news.
A very easy phone number for anyone listening who wants to get their kids involved. What about adults?
Adults, too. Come on down.
It's
absolutely.
1-888-SWIM-KID. 1-888-794-6543. I'm on the website right now, babyotterswimschool.com.
I hope that you'll allow me at least one or two Walter questions. Are you good with that?
I'm good with that.
All right, here's the thing I've wondered my whole life. In the Super Bowl game, and I know you've been asked this before, I'm just so curious. It was a great chance to give Walter the ball and let him score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. It didn't happen. He says it didn't bother him. Did it bother him that he didn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
It bothered him.
It did.
I didn't realize at first, though.
Yeah.
I didn't realize at first. It was a while before because he did let on to me. And I remember we left New Orleans going straight to the Pro Bowl that year. And I didn't understand it because I was just happy that finally they had won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Because all I can remember was all the bad years.
Right.
That he had his, you know, Walter this way, Walter that way, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just happy about that. But then, you know, when I had some time to think about it, then I realized, I mean, really, you play so long and so hard for that moment, you know, and it is the ultimate, you know, and to get there and not, you know, not do that. But so I understood why he felt that way. But he was okay. He got over it real soon, but he was a little disappointed.
My other question, Connie, is we're coming up on 20 years since we've lost Walter. What do you miss most about him?
Oh, my goodness. I think everything.
Yeah.
You know, he was such a fun, loving person. And, you know, he truly was that prankster that everybody knew. And it was just, you know, his personality and having around. And you know, having the grandkids now. And I see so much of him and all of the kids. And Jaden, Madison, Blair, and now we have Zoe and the kids. And I look at them and I see so much of them. And Jaden's little boy, that's 7, you know, he told me the other day, and I hope I can share this, you know, he said he was in the bed and he was upset. He looked at me, he goes, "You make me sad when I look at you, Gigi." And I'm like, "Well, what do I do to make you sad?" He goes, "Because you were the wife of the best football player that ever played the game and the best human being in the world, and I'll never get a chance to meet him."
How long did you cry after that?
I'm telling you, I could cry just this is from a 6-year-old kid who he goes, "And I'll never get a chance." And I say, "You know what, Jaden? I see so much of your grandfather in you.
Yeah.
And just know he is around. And I'm sorry you are never a person." I said, "But, you know, I see so much of him." And I said, "You know what? And the best thing you could do is strive to be that good human being just like your grandfather."
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I mean, that just did it for me, you know. So I just think about how he would be with the grandkids and missing out on that. But we all do, you know, and especially the kids because they both were so young. Jarrett was 19 and Brittany was 14. And, you know, so and it's hard to believe that it's been 20 years already.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But it's true. He was the best that ever was.
Well,
there's no question about it.
Thank you.
I've been a Bears fan my whole life, and my kids are teenagers now, 2 boys, and the first jersey we got them was number 34. That was the only one that was worthy for them to wear. And I have to say, Chet Kopic would have been 71 years old today, and I know the first person he ran to see was Walter.
I know. I was so heartbroken when I heard that see it pass. Yeah. I really was. I mean,
he loved Walter so much. Oh. Who didn't, though? I mean, really.
Yep.
Well, it's an awesome city. We live in a great city, and my kids and I, my family, we are so thankful for the support and the love. And like I said, even to this day, I don't know if Walter had a clue as to how much the city really loved and cared for him. I really don't know if he knew that. I really don't know. And it's sad that I think it took him getting sick. And then just to real, because when, you know, and I just remember back to that time and when he made his announcement and just the letters. I mean, we could probably fill up this room with the letters from people from all over the world that truly wanted to donate a liver and wanted to, and just, I think that was the first time he realized, wow, I didn't realize I made this impact on so many people.
He did. He definitely did.
She's the great Connie Payton. Mindy York will give you some credit, too, because you guys have hooked up for thebabyotter.com. Is that where I send people? Baby Otter Swim School?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Connie, it's great to see you. Tell Jared to come by and hug us. He's the best hugger in the world.
Oh,
how about it, Bill?
Yes. He will love to come by. Oh, his dad. That's exactly
really? You got it from Walter?
Oh, it's so tight.
He's come behind you. Yes.
I think he cracked one of Bill's ribs.
That's Walter.
6 weeks in the hospital. I don't care. Yeah,
that's the
fine.
Walter in him. I will definitely tell him.
And our best to Brittany as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. You can go to 1-888-794-6543. That number again, 1-888-SWIM-KID. Thank you so much, you guys. Happy swimming.
Thank you. We look forward to it.
All right, we will. Coming up in we're going to be on WGN Extra. I don't know. It's the stream. Let me just say that. This is clunky right now. You can hear us talk about what's hot and what's cold. It's all sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. A hot SNL cast member may be leaving. We will discuss that on WGN Extra.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.